Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are 11 and a half years on the air. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Hundreds of programs, and we're approaching 800,000 listeners over these years. So people have been listening. And we're hoping that we're making an impact for the kingdom of God. And we hope to continue anyway until Jesus comes or the Lord takes me out of here, one or the other. But I want to thank everybody that's been listening over the years and for all your prayers and all your support. And also, I would appreciate your prayers about my YouTube channel, because I'm not crazy about YouTube, but I'm using it for now. And I guess maybe about, I have two YouTube channels. I have Greedy Preachers TV, which is kind of a newer one, which I don't use that much, but I just posted a video there about Paula White. Did Donald Trump lose the election because of Paula White? Well, I think that had something to do with it. But anyway, I just posted that video, and I posted a video about her son, who is the heir apparent there of the so-called church there in Apopka. But he was wrong about his prophesying about Trump winning the election, and he said that if he was wrong, he was going to go away from the ministry, and he wasn't coming back. But we'll see if he comes back, because he's making a big salary there. His mother makes over $1 million a year, and you might say, well, Susan, how do you know that? I know because the Paula White sued a lady called Shirley Johnson, and she has a YouTube channel called The Remnants JNJ. Anyway, Shirley posted many, many videos of all of Paula White's lies. She's a chronic liar. And if you look at these videos, some of them were done, oh, probably 10, 12 years ago, maybe even longer than that, when she was at Without Walls with her then husband, Randy White. But one lie after another. Anyway, Shirley documented and did a great job documenting these things. But Paula got angry at Shirley, and she decided she was going to sue her for copyright infringement and try to get her YouTube channel taken down. Well, of course, you can post things, you can use clips and news stories and things like that without interfering with anyone's copyright. You can only take small amounts of these things, but there's a law called fair use, and that allows you to use copyrighted material for news reporting and critiquing and things like that. So, but anyway, Paula decided that she was going to start harassing this woman. And I guess maybe, this is probably 5 or 6 years ago anyway, that Paula filed a lawsuit, and at $10 million she wanted to get from this lady, sister in the Lord, Shirley. Yeah, she was going to sue her for $10 million. That's, please. Anyway, of course, you know, Paula has all kinds of attorneys working for her. So, and I think her church, I don't even like to call it a church, it's a fleecing center over there, but they have insurance policies. So I think that they can hire these attorneys and then they don't have to take it out of their money, which she wouldn't take it out of her salary. No, no. So anyway, she's trying to get rid of Shirley. And so it's now if somebody is suing you, somebody that's worth a lot of money and you're not worth that much money and you really can't afford an attorney because they're like $400 or $500 an hour or whatever. So here's Shirley and she's thinking, yikes, I'm being sued for $10 million by Paula White. Anyway, Shirley didn't back down. Now, Shirley didn't know anything about being an attorney but she put on some case. Let me tell you, you can go and review the documents of this court case. They're available to the public. And Shirley went to the law library and she decided she was going to be her own attorney. Now, she never went to law school. And meanwhile, Paula had about five attorneys working on this case. But then when they saw that Shirley wasn't going to back down, they dropped the lawsuit, and then Shirley sued them, and she went to court, and she won the case. She won the case against Paula White. Now, she didn't get a big settlement because she should have asked for a bigger settlement because it was harassment. Wasn't right, but Paula liked to do this to people. She was always threatening people on YouTube with these false copyright infringement things just to shut people up. But the thing with this channel, The Remnants J&J, Shirley wasn't making these things up. These were audios and videos of Paula White herself. So I guess Paula was trying to censor herself. And anyway, during the court case, Paula had to reveal all her financials. She had to show her 1040. She had to show all her bank accounts. See, that's the thing with these people. They don't realize that they're going to threaten you with lawsuits, people like Paula White and these phony preachers. And they don't expect you to fight back. But here's a woman that she fought back and she did a terrific job, I'll say, filing these paperwork, these pages and pages of documents that she had to file. And but what they don't realize, these people like Paula White, she didn't realize that then she was going to have to reveal all her financial information. And then she was asking the court to seal it. So they sealed the financial information, her 1040s and her bank statements and her tithes and offerings and all that. But then the Washington Post got involved in this. And Shirley, after a year, Shirley was asking that all the documents would be unsealed and made public. And then the Washington Post joined in on this. And they had attorneys working so that Paula's documents, all her financial information, would have to be public. And then the Trinity Foundation also joined in. So there they were, right? And so the judge did. He granted their motions that Paula's financial information would have to be public. So anybody could go and look at these documents, which I did. I did look at it. There was like almost 2,000 pages of documents, her bank accounts and her, and it was just for a couple of years. It wasn't for that long. But Paula White, yikes. I mean, she preaches two sermons a week and she's making over $1 million. She gets a salary somewhere close to $800,000. Now, could you please tell me what pastor is worth $800,000 to preach two sermons a week? And she's got always begging for volunteers, and she doesn't have that big of a staff, but she lives in a huge million-dollar home on 4 acres where she's got horses, and she likes to brag about all the things that she does over there on her social media accounts, all on the money from people from her church. But I don't know how these people do it. How can anybody that's a pastor think that getting over $1 million a year is justified? It's not. It's not justified. You're supposed to be in the ministry to help other people, not to help yourself. If she had some kind of a business of her own and she was making that kind of money, then it's none of my business or anybody else's business. But when she's scamming people over there to have this kind of a lifestyle that she has, and then she says that it's God blessing her. Well, it's not God blessing her. It's herself blessing her. And then she buys her son a house next door to her. And I happen to know where the houses are, but I don't give people's addresses. That's not the right thing to do. But as far as showing a picture of the house, you can show pictures, which I put a picture of his house on the YouTube video that I did. And the house is worth $700,000. It's a big, huge house next to hers. And so you know that she pays him a lot of money to stay there at the where's this kid going to get that kind of a job? Any of these children of these famous preachers. And you'll notice, like John Hagee, he's got his son now over there as the pastor. And Joel Osteen, he's starting to bring his son in there, Jonathan, to take over the kingdom over there. So they always set their children up to rule over these kingdoms. And it's nepotism. These children, where would they go and make this kind of money that they're making? According to the documents from the Grassley report in 2007, when they were investigating the televangelists then, and Paula White and Randy White had to turn over their financial statements, they had, I think, 5 or 6 family members on staff. Randy's father, his sister, Paula's son, and a couple of Randy's children. And the salaries all together for these 5 or 6 people was $1.5 million. So you can imagine what kind of salaries these people are making. You know, all on your tithes and offerings. But they tell you, you have to give your tithes and offerings so we can do the work of the ministry. But it was found out that if Paula White takes in $5, she gets $1. She gets at least $1 for every $5 that's taken into her ministry. So, and don't let Mother Teresa over there fool you that she's in it for the, you know, because she loves God and she wants to do something for God. No, these people, they're in it for themselves. They're in it for themselves, because if they were in it for the Lord, they would operate by faith. And they wouldn't have to bang you over the head every Sunday and every Wednesday and on their television programs and on their radio programs for donations. Because God is perfectly capable of speaking to people on your behalf if he so chooses. And if he doesn't choose, then get a job like the rest of the people have to do. They have to work an honest job, and they don't take advantage of people. That's not Christianity. So anyway, we want to do away with that. I don't think we're ever going to totally do away with it, because for some reason people like to be led around. And I don't understand it, but you see it every day that people join cults. And they're mesmerized by these people, and they have tremendous followings. And even like my video, did Donald Trump lose the election because of Paula White? He gave her credibility. And I visited her church a couple of times just to go and see what kind of crowd she was drawing over there. And at one point, hardly anybody was there. She had thousands of people when she first took over the church, but she managed to clear the place out. And that's how it's been for her most of her life. I don't care how many times she tells you how many millions of people are watching her. The first church they had there in Tampa went bankrupt and was foreclosed. And the one in Lakeland that they had. And then her over there in Apopka, she was clearing the place out. There was hardly anybody there. And then once Donald Trump started promoting her, then more, when I went back, I might have gone back there in 2018 or something like that. And I noticed that there was more white people there, whereas before she had mainly African-American people because of Zachary Timms. And they looked like they might have been white Republicans. And why would they go there? They would go there because here's this woman that's being promoted as a presidential spiritual advisor, which, God help us, but anyway, those documents are available. There's a treasure trove full of information on there, and that's it. You have to stand up for what is right and not be afraid of these people, but they're not going to be so quick to sue people like they used to do on YouTube. They would file these, and they still do it. I mean, some of these people still do it. They file these copyright infringement claims. And then YouTube, if you have three of those, YouTube will take down your channel. Even before you're found innocent, you have to fight this thing. And if you decide that you're going to counterclaim a YouTube copyright infringement, then there's a clause in there that says, well, you could be sued by the person that's filing it. So who wants to be sued? Nobody wants to be sued to take the time to go to court and you have to hire an attorney. And even if you win, of course, if you win, they're supposed to pay your legal fees and for harassing you. But anyway, God help us. So we are having some interesting times right in the news this week. And I was just looking at some of these news stories today. And it says the Argentine president tests positive for COVID but was vaccinated. Now, that's the truth. Even if you do get a vaccination, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get coronavirus. People are still getting it. And well, they're hoping things are going to get back to normal. I don't know. I have my doubts. I have my doubts because it's a crazy world out there now. They're trying to get these vaccine passports where you won't be allowed to fly or you won't be allowed to stay in a hotel unless you can prove you had a vaccination. And they can't even guarantee that you're still going to be protected from this virus just because you're vaccinated. It's the same thing like the flu. People were getting flu shots, but they were still getting the flu. And in fact, they even got the flu from the flu shot. And so, like I said, I can't tell you what to do, but I wouldn't go near these vaccinations. No way. Now we're having some kind of a catastrophe here in Florida too. It could be a major catastrophe where this reservoir is about to burst and it's got millions of gallons of contaminated radioactive wastewater. Oh dear. It's like one thing after another, right? And the amazing thing is, well, they have these plants and it was a phosphate plant. And so it contained radioactive materials, but even nearby where I live, they're about 30 miles away. There was a nuclear power plant there at one time, and of course they had those big smokestacks, and then they had their wastewater, and then they had some kind of containers where they were putting this radioactive waste. Well, they closed the place down, but they were storing the waste. And I came to find out, which I never knew this, I was studying this book, How to Build a Healthy Home. And in the book, they said that when contractors put in your foundation, they use fly ash, and the fly ash could come from a nuclear power plant, the waste from a nuclear power plant. Well, I'm thinking to myself, with all these environmental things, like, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. So talking to a person that pours concrete, and I'm asking them, what are you going to use for fly ash in the foundation? Oh, we're going to use the waste from the power plant, the nuclear power plant. That's what we use in the foundation of a house. Oh, well, you're not using it in my foundation. But how would you even know? How would you even know? Most people wouldn't even know that, except I happened to be reading this book, and I found this out, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing, that you're going to put radioactive waste in people's foundations. No. Yeah, but they were doing that. So here we have this, I don't know what's going to happen with this contaminated water. And it's over there in Manatee County. It's a beautiful county there with some great beaches. But wow, they've already evacuated 300 homes. But this are the days we're living in. We just don't know, one thing after another. And we just have to stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because you think, when I'm listening to these news shows, these talk shows, and all they're talking about is politics, and I'm saying to myself, I am so sick of this, because these politicians, they're crazy. And they think like they're little Mussolinis or they're little Hitlers or something, and they're going to control your life, and they're going to take your money, and they're going to do whatever they want with your money, whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. And you're thinking to yourself, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because where am I? Sometimes I think I'm in the Twilight Zone for sure, but I can thank God, and I think most of us can, that we know Jesus. And so we have hope, because I don't know what people would do without the Lord. And if they didn't have any hope, or they didn't have any assurance of heaven, and they see all these things happening around them, all of a sudden the gas prices have jumped $1 a gallon, taxes are going up, building materials have gone up over 200% in the past, like, 4 or 5 months. Everything is getting higher and higher and higher. Taxes on your homes, and they're going to tax this, and they're going to tax that. And then you can't say anything about it, because they just take it. highway robbery. Oh, it must be nice just to be able to dip in everybody's bank account and take what you want and do what you want in the world. Oh, dear. God help us. But anyway, I was looking at this lady. I didn't really know that much about this lady. Yeah, and then about the border crisis. Yes, Shannon, yeah. Now, try to understand that. No, it just breaks your heart, because these people are flooding in here, and I don't understand myself how any parent could leave their children to walk to another country not accompanied by their parents. I don't understand that at all. I don't know what parent could do that. I don't care what kind of a life you're going to have in another country. Why would you leave your child to walk hundreds of miles and maybe even thousands of miles with strangers? No, it doesn't make any sense at all. I don't care how poor you are. parent can do that. No. And then and then it's like we're sanctioning that kind of thing and holding these children in these holding places, oh, like cattle. We're supposed to be a civilized country. And it's not civilized. It's horrible. God help us. But I didn't know that much about this cat Kerr, really. I guess maybe I might have started hearing about her a couple of years ago. And she's a pretty wild person. I was thinking to myself, how in the world does this lady come up with these stories? Because she makes up these stories about heaven and hell, and she can really spin a yarn, this lady. But I was thinking that, of course, we have people like L. Ron Hubbard, and he wrote all those Scientology books, which are kind of way out there, too, in the Twilight Zone. And then we have people that write fiction, and they make things up. They just have very vivid imaginations. That's this lady, this Kat Kerr. And she makes up the wildest tales. I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever heard such wild tales that have come out of somebody's mouth. And of course, she's very well respected in these false prophetic circles, which these people are so way out there, and they don't base what they're saying with a biblical foundation. I could see if you have scripture to back these things up, but they don't have scripture to back these things up. They just make up these stories. And then they have people that support them. She's got quite a big following if you look at her YouTube channel anyway, and you see all the people, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people that listen to her videos. And I'm thinking, yikes, why can't people discern that this is not right? These stories are not true. She said, and I'm going to play the audio, but she said that she saw God the Father, even though the Bible says nobody can see God and live. She says that he had a mustache and it was neatly trimmed. Yeah, God had a mustache. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, but no. I'm like, Lord, please. Help me. I can't believe it. But that is the Word of Faith movement. That is the prophetic movement. Is that there's many people like her. She's not alone. But it's like years ago, and I remember this story from my mother's friend. Her childhood friend married a man, and he started dressing up like Jesus, and they took him to a mental institution because he was saying things that were so far out. But now today you have these people that claim to be hearing from God, and they see Jesus and they see angels, and they're flying around doing time travel, but yet they have people that flock to hear them. So you figure it out. Anyway, let's start off with the scripture here in Galatians 1 about another Jesus and another gospel.
The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, another Jesus and another gospel. And that's what these people are doing, especially this cat Kerr. Yeah, I'm just reading these things people are writing here in the chat room. And when I was talking about the fly ash from the radioactive waste from the nuclear power plants that they're putting in people's foundations. And yeah, Shannon was saying that they put sewage in Nuttifornia. They used the sewage for our tap water. Yeah, I know. They wanted to do that here too. They wanted to build. Now, this is the city council, the council members, and I don't know if they've ever okayed it, but yeah, they wanted to do that here too in our county, where they wanted to take the sewage water and refine it and use it for tap water. But they are doing that in some places in Tampa. Oh, anyway, who elected these people, right? Anybody with any common sense knows they don't want to do that. But there, they do it. Here's some sewage water. I don't care how they try to clean it. No, I don't want it. Here's Kat Kerr. Now, she's going to tell you what God the Father looks like. Here's her description of
today
her God.
I'm just going to answer some questions that people really have always wanted to know about heaven. One of the first ones probably most asked is, what did God look like? I'm talking about God the Father sitting on his throne in heaven. I can tell you, if there was one word to describe him, I'm sure it would be love. But his, I guess you could call it his literal appearance, because he is a spiritual being. He does have arms and legs like we do, or we wouldn't have them, because we're made in his image according to, you know, the word of God. He's really big, high and lifted up on his throne. You can see his beautiful gowns that he wears sometimes, just flowing. Even the clothing is alive that he's wearing. But he has beautiful hair, white as wool, that goes down to his shoulders. The most amazing mustache and beard, neatly trimmed, not just flowing all the way down the front. But I can tell you that the Father, to look at him, just to get a glimpse in his eyes, if you can stand there long enough, the glory emanates from his being. It turns into this amazing rainbow that actually moves in and out of him. You see life moving in and out of his being. And I know some people thought they would be filled with fear to stand before him. But if you're his child, you'll be filled with so much love, you want to run up the steps and just jump in his arms. He'll hold you to himself, and he's big. And there's no one in this world so big that he couldn't hold them like a child. and you feel love permeating every bit of your being. You think you're going to melt into him and become a part of him. His eyes, I tell people, like blue flames of fire. It says our God is consuming fire. That means he's filled with passion for us, how much he loves you. So he's strong, and he's able to hold you, able to love you, even on this earth. He wants to be a part of your life. So just know that he cares about you. He's not up there in heaven judging you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to know him. He is your father, and we are his offspring. So just know you'll be delighted to be with him, to step into that unspeakable glory that comes from him. You'll never be the same. Another question I'm asked a lot is about wisdom. They want to know, is that a person? Is that an angel? What is wisdom? Well, wisdom flows from the heart of the Father, and actually he says to ask for wisdom, and he will give it to you. I've seen actually the Lord himself, I think, is the epitome of the word wisdom. I know he's filled with the wisdom of God, and actually I do know that an eagle represents wisdom, even in heaven. I've seen the Lord appear to me as an eagle, which represents bringing wisdom to me. There are angels who are carriers of wisdom. You can call them an angel of wisdom. They are not wisdom, but they bring it from the Father. I know several people that the angel of wisdom has appeared in their home, sometimes stays there a lot, and God's filling them with his wisdom. But it's something that comes from the Father. It also says in the Word, in getting all of your wisdom and asking for wisdom, make sure you get understanding. That helps you use that wisdom. And understanding means knowledge of the Holy One. That means knowing who God is. So that's my, that's a happy.
No. No. Oh. Could you imagine God the Father takes time out of his day to trim his beard and mustache? Oh. You can't make this up, except she made it up. Oh. Yeah, I guess Jesus had wisdom since he was God on the earth. I guess he had a lot of wisdom, yeah. He didn't have to get wisdom. He was wisdom all by himself. Oh, dear. I'm telling you. She says she can spin a yarn, this lady. Yeah, she would be a very successful fiction writer, which she is. She is a fiction writer. Okay, here is Kat Kerr. And this is just recently. I think this was last week or so, because she's still on this whole thing about the election. And no matter what man tried to do, this is my feeling anyway, no matter what man had to do with how things turned out, ultimately, God is in control. So what we have now happened for a reason. And there's a lot of people that would say, well, what reason? Well, I don't know. But I know from my own point of view, and I've said this before, I think a lot of what happened to Donald Trump had something to do with his compromise on the vaccines and the fact that he promoted the vaccines that were all tested. Every single vaccine was tested using aborted baby cells, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which he promoted openly, and I'm going to be making a video about it. I contacted his office last week because he opened up an office, and I got an email, or I think I saw it on the Gateway Pundit. And I saw that he'd opened up an office and that you could contact his office if you had any questions for him. I don't expect them to answer my question. I wish he would answer my question, because I would like to ask him personally. And hopefully maybe when I put this video up, it might draw some attention to my question, is how could you be pro-life and support a vaccine tested on aborted babies, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine actually was made using the aborted cells, even though they're saying it's not in the vaccine, it is in the vaccine. The DNA from these cells are in the vaccine. And so I wrote to the office last week and I posed the question, is how could you promote these vaccines and say you're pro-life? So they sent me back a response. Of course, when you pose a question to the office of the former president, they ask you for your name and your address and your phone number so they can text you and write you. I guarantee you I'll probably be put on a mailing list. But I wanted my question answered. The response I got back was we're looking over your question and that kind of a thing. Okay, I don't know who's looking it over because I've had questions over the years for the former president. And I, even myself, attended one of his rallies when he was running the first time. And I had written a song that I wanted to give him. And I had a business card with me. So I happened to be up in the front at one of the rallies, and then when he came by, he used to come by the front and shake people. You could shake his hand or you could hand something to him. I handed him my business card with my contact information, and I had the information too about the song. So he put it in his pocket and he walked away. Well, nothing ever happened. I never heard from him. So I just knew that after that happened, and I thought to myself, well, you know, there was a reason why God didn't put him in my life, and because he never contacted me. So I also had posed questions to them and sent information to them, and never heard back. Was put on a mailing list, but it would be a question I would like to ask him, is how could you do that? And that's one of the main reasons why I think he didn't get elected, because you can't mock God. You just can't say you're pro-life and then you promote a vaccine that's made from aborted children. It's not going to fly. So I would like to hear a retraction from him, and I would like to hear an explanation. Whether or not I'll ever get one, I'm still going to pursue it and see if I can get one. And I would like to hear what he has to say about it. I know some people said to me, well, maybe he doesn't know. He has to know. No, he knows. He absolutely would know. He was going to form a vaccine commission with Robert Kennedy Jr., who's very informed on vaccines, and he's an advocate for safe vaccines. And they were going to form a committee back during the first election to guarantee the safety of vaccines, but then it never happened. So, no, I can't believe he didn't know. But I would like to ask him and just be praying for that. Be praying that I can get an answer from him about it. I would be very curious to know. And I think it's a big issue, especially if he's planning to run again. He's going to have to answer to the pro-life movement about these actions. And we'll see, you know. And also, like, how do you put somebody like Paula White in your... somebody that has actually openly told people to watch porn, which is on video, and it's in my new video that I'm getting ready to post on. I did post one on Greedy Preachers TV with her promoting her and her husband telling people to watch porn from her pulpit, and then with her writhing on her husband's leg during a sermon. You can see it there, but I'll also be posting it on my other YouTube channel, Susan Puzio. But I wanted you to also be praying about the YouTube channel, because they had sent me a notice like about 2 or 3 years ago that they weren't going to allow me to monetize, which I don't care about. I hate those commercials anyway, but And then they were going to do something to the algorithm so I wouldn't be featured on the right side where they give you options for other videos that are similar to the topic you're looking up. And I would like that to be removed because at one point I had a lot more people watching the channel. Of course, I didn't put up that many videos for a while, but now I'm going to be making more. So I would like them, I would like people to be able to see them and know about them and to be able to see the information. But here's Kat Kerr. Now here's Kat Kerr calling Donald. She's actually standing there holding a staff, and then she's calling Donald Trump forth.
Welcome, everybody. This is Kat Kerr going live right here from Florida, and we have some great news for everybody. I'm so excited for the celebration that's about to happen for all of us, but I'm here also to make a declaration of destiny. And right now, I declare and I call for our president to take his rightful place, Trump, to come forth right now, step into your destiny that God gave you, called you, appointed you, and anointed you for this time to declare over America, to help America. This is his choice, and we call you forth right now in the name of Jesus Christ, who is with you, who will always be with you. The people are with you. The prophets of God are with you. The military is with you. So come forth, step into your destiny now, saith the Lord. It is your day, in your hour, that you have been faithful to watch over this country and its people, to love it like God loves it. So be it in Jesus' name. Come forth.
I don't care what she says. I mean, Jesus is not going to be with you if you promote a vaccine that's made from abortion. No, Jesus is not going to be with you in that instance. No. So, no. Jesus is not going to be with any politician that promotes this kind of a thing. It's a horror, it's a disgrace, and it's something that should not go on in this country. We should not be experimenting and developing medicines using products that were obtained from aborted children. No way. Now here's Kat Kerr. Now she's now it's hard to believe, right? After you hear these audios, that she is in demand as a speaker. And she's an author, and she has hundreds of thousands of people listening to her, these fairy tales. Here she is. She can see 50 years into the future.
Everybody, welcome to Capitol Hill. This is Kat Kerr, continuing on with my Trump 2020 broadcast. And I want to welcome everybody. I hope you're celebrating because we are. I actually have my celebration scarf on right now. So I just want you to know that it's going to be a win for Trump. If anybody ever wondered, you know I keep saying that. So
move the umbrella just for a second. We can't see the Capitol.
Oh, okay.
Just tilt it this way. A little bit more. There's the Capitol.
Now you can see the Capitol building. Okay. So anyway, we are on Capitol Hill. I just want you to know. And you can also watch this later on Elijah List. It will be posted. So, you know, God has a plan. He always has. He had it in the beginning. Actually, in 2015 was the first time he told me that Trump would win. That was before, you know, he was even chosen as the representative for the Republican Party. So I want to make sure that you're not letting fear get in. Don't listen to the stuff that says civil war, cities will burn. You know, that's not part of God's plan. I will tell you this, that Trump does have a plan right after November 3rd or 4th. And I don't know why I'm saying the 4th, but we will find out. But I will tell you this, he is winning, and he will win big. Because people want a life. You want a life. You have a family. You want a home. You want a future, right? So this is the way to go. And in case you didn't know, even after Trump is in there for his second term, Pence will be president for 8 years. Woohoo! I am excited about that. And that is not the end of it. God showed me a plan for 24 years in the White House. So after Pence, whoever he picks as vice president, will be president for 8 years after that. God is changing this country to be a place where you can come to find him, have a real life, have a future, be excited. Some brand new inventions are coming, but you know what? He is cleaning off the platform. That's what he said. I'm exposing all of the darkness. If you ever wonder why it looks like it's crawling out of every crack and crevice, it's because God wants it to be known so it can be dealt with. I will also tell you this from heaven. Everyone who's cheating, stealing, and lying, harvesting ballots, burning ballots, hiding ballots, they will be exposed. Everyone in every secret hidden room, nothing is hidden from God. In case you ever wonder, of course, they don't believe there is one. They're about to find out there is. So this is the time to celebrate. And I know God wants you to celebrate before November 3rd ever gets here. That shows him you believe his plans. And so I want you to stay excited. I have seen 50 years into the future. And I can tell you these next 24 years will be setting us up for the next 100 years. So if you think God doesn't show people things, if you think he gave that up in the Old Testament, you're wrong. Maybe you'll be next. So don't ever stop staying excited. Trump is definitely God's choice. He said he's an all-American boy who is all for America. That's what he says about him. And just because I want to, recently when I was in Colorado, God began to speak, and he said to the people, why would you want a villain for your president when I have already sent a superhero named Trump? No, when you know God, you're not afraid to say anything. I don't care whose list I'm on. They're on God's list. And I can tell you right now, he knows everything that's going on. And in heaven, they are celebrating.
Amen.
Because he knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He's not abandoning this whole 24-year plan just because you think that darkness is surrounding us. It'll never be greater than the light or the glory of God. So make sure you're telling your family great days are ahead, and one day we'll be burning our masks. Woo-hoo! Because
yeah.
I am done with that thing. By the way, God said there will not be a second wave. They're lying. I think they do that for a hobby, all right? Because there is no second wave. It's a virus. It is not a plague, okay? It's not a plague. And so it's not a disease even. Viruses come and they go. But how long are you going to tolerate it? I will not tolerate sickness and disease in my country, not where I live. We will not put up with this stuff anymore. This is God's time to show up and show off inside of us. And he has cleaned that platform for the manifested sons and daughters of God to speak to the land, the sea, and the air. I do know him, and I hope I sound just like him. Because he inspires, he encourages, he loves you. He has great plans for you. He's not here to steal, rob, take away what you have. He can give you a better job than you ever have before. I hope you're declaring that.
Amen.
He is
the
God of all creation, and his son Jesus Christ made a way for us all to come back to him. And they have a plan. I'm going with their plan. So kick out the left,
Amen.
Run into the right, into the light.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, I think she missed it there. I don't think she did a very good job of calling the election. I think she better hang up her prophecy name tag. Anyway, I'm sure glad Jesus is in charge. I'm sure glad that I know the Lord. Oh dear. It gets wackier as it goes on. She's saying that God can give you an angel stop station.
In these last days, in the days of greater glory being poured out, tidal waves of fire about to hit this earth from God's heart. It's going to change us. One of the things God will establish is a stop station in many believers' homes. If you've created a habitation for heaven in your home, that means get all the darkness out. You know, have anointed worship in your home that draws heaven. You live in your life the right way so people see heaven in you. God will appoint a stop station in your home, and the angelic beings being sent down to the earth during these days will actually stop in your home on the way in from heaven and on the way back to heaven. As they're sent down here in assignment, many people will actually see them with their own eyes, the angelic beings coming in their home, receiving assignments from the Father, going out of their home, and there will be angelic stop stations all over this world. It will do two things. Number one, it's going to bless your socks off. If God assigns one in your home, the glory will build in your home till it's visibly seen on the outside. The enemy, of course, will also know you have special visitors in your home. It's going to put them on notice. This home has been marked by God. These people live for him. They love for him. And God has strategic plans, not just for those people, but even in the use of their home. So, you know, I want my home to be a stop station. I want the angelic beings to come and go from my place that are bringing intervention in this earth in the last days, helping us with some of the miracles that we'll be doing, these greater miracles like stopping earthquakes and making them put it back, like walking through a hospital and everybody being healed because of the glory that we carry, those kinds of things. The angelic beings will coming down to this earth. Many of them in heaven right now are being trained in one of the greatest healing moves God will have on this earth. There is a body parts warehouse in heaven, and many of them will actually bring the body parts down to this earth, pass through your home to go put them in the people. Isn't that awesome? I want heaven to be a part of my life. It should be a part of your life. So get yourself ready. Get prepared for God to make a stop station for his angels to come through your home.
Oh, Lord, help us. It's hard to believe, right? I mean, it's hard to believe. We're going to stop earthquakes. We're going to stop earthquakes, and everybody in the hospital is going to get healed. Yep, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. But it's not going to happen. No, that is not the end time scenario that we read in the Bible. That is not, we don't read that in the Bible. The Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. And we are already seeing that happening. And there's going to be a one world government, and we're already seeing that happening. So she's got no scriptural basis at all for any of this. Here's another one of her episodes when she went to heaven.
It will be a fullness of time, and we're entering into another whole time on God's time clock. But there's a lot of exciting, fascinating things that God has planned for the years ahead on this earth, and so just get ready for that. Something else I like to answer is, what is the weather like in heaven? Well, I can tell you, you'll never have storms. You don't have to worry about torrential rains or lightning striking you, unless, of course, it's in the throne room of God. Lightning comes from the Father. It's the only place you'll find lightning in heaven, and that's like a million megawatts of love. People actually run to get struck by that lightning. But outside, around the country or the cities in heaven, there's not weather like we have here. Of course, there's beautiful clouds, streams of unbelievable color everywhere. God gives you light shows, much better than the fireworks we have on this earth. But there are certain areas in heaven where it does rain. They actually have a place. I've never really talked about it before. It's like the rainforest on this earth. It rains all the time, but it's a delightful, wonderful rain. There are places that it snows in heaven. One is called Christmas Town. It snows all the time. You can go play in the snow. It's kind of cold, but you're never going to freeze. There are places like the Mountains of Spices. Around your being, it might feel a little bit different temperature, but it's always perfect temperature in heaven, no matter where you are. It's always going to be a good thing if there's a little bit of rain or a beautiful snowfall. In your mansion, some people don't even have roofs on them because, you know what, you're not going to get flooded. You're not going to have mudslides. You're not going to have storms in heaven unless it's a spiritual, amazing experience. But your house is never going to experience anything against it, like The rain's not going to hurt anything, no mold, no mildew, nothing ever rusts in heaven. It's just beautiful everywhere you go. So the weather is always perfect in heaven. The sky in heaven can be many different colors. I wouldn't say that there's one color all the time everywhere, because I've been in many places and seen many different colors. It's always daylight. There's no darkness like we have in this earth. There are times when there are just waves after waves of beautiful colors going through the sky. Now, the light also, there's not like a sun. The light comes from the glory of God. So it comes from the ground, the trees, the sky itself, and the colors passing through parts of the sky there. Some of it's like the fireworks I talked about earlier, just beams of light or explosions of light filled with colors we don't have on this earth. And if you like those kind of things, you probably have them at your mansion all the time. So sometimes I see, like if it was a blue sky, there'd be sapphire blue and like an aqua blue and then a baby blue all at the same time in heaven. Even the sky seemed to be alive. And so it's a delightful thing to lay on your back in a meadow and watch all the beauty. You see many different things happening in the atmosphere of heaven, many different types of angels going back and forth. People, one of the things I love in the sky of heaven is when you worship in heaven, you're caught up and you literally ride on your worship across the skies of heaven. So
oh, dear. Yeah, people run to get struck by lightning. They run to get struck by the lightning that's coming from the throne. Oh. Yeah, she would be a very, very, very good fiction writer. And she could probably have a whole new series of books of fiction. Here now she talks about Jesus in hell. Hey, Jesus.
Question I am continually asked, and I think actually in the last few weeks I've been asked about 10 times the same question. What about the Nephilim? Now, I'm going to give you an answer that's been given to me by heaven to share. It may not be the fullness of an answer, but I'm going to go ahead and share it. The Nephilim were on the earth, actually in the days of Noah, and these were angelic beings who, it said, changed their original state. The way God meant them to be, the way he designed them to operate, they left that original state. In doing so, they sealed something about themselves that could never be changed. They couldn't belong to God anymore. They couldn't access heaven anymore. And what that allowed them to do on the earth, regardless of who they did that contract with, personally, I think it was with the enemy, with Satan, and they actually were able to have intercourse with the daughters of mankind. I'm talking about women in those days of Noah. And they did produce offspring that were giants in the land. They were sort of a supernatural quality to them. I'm not sure of all the powers they had. I do know that they were huge beings, probably 15 foot tall, maybe higher than that. And as far as I know, none of them were good beings. They didn't do good things. They meant harm for people. And I know that one of the reasons God brought the flood in those days was because of that activity that was going on. And I will tell you that, as far as I know, the actual ones who started that stepped out and left the original state, the Word of God says that they were bound in chains and they're being held for their judgment in the future. And actually, we, the sons and daughters of God, will be the ones who judge them. When the flood came, of course, all those offspring were destroyed. That they had produced were destroyed. As far as I know, they themselves are no longer on this earth. There certainly could be a spirit. There's so many spirits that operate with the enemy, with Satan, still on this earth that have been here thousands of years. I'm sure they're going to try to restart part of that activity. But as far as I know, the original angels that started that whole thing are still bound in chains. That's what the Word says. And as far as what God has said, they will be judged by us in the years to come, in the ages to come. So my issue is, it's not that big of a deal about whether they come or not. It's us using God's power in the earth to push back darkness in this earth. So that's my explanation of the Nephilim. Oh, the next question is about hell. Somebody wanted to know, are the gates of hell literal gates on the earth, and is hell in the center of the earth? Well, let me tell you, first of all, anything that's associated with hell or a part of hell is a spiritual realm. It is not a physical realm. In other words, you wouldn't see it with your physical eyes. God would have to open your spiritual eyes to see that. There are literal gates that enter into hell. They're spiritual ones. And actually, you know, the word says that Christ has the keys to hell, death, and the grave. He himself sometimes walks through hell even now. And people, of course, still want to be rescued out of hell, which is impossible once you're sent there and you live there. There are literal gates. There are spiritual gates. It talks about them in the word. And when you, once you pass through them down into hell to live, you are there forever until later when the judgment comes. Hell itself, yes, is actually in the center of the earth. It also is a spiritual realm where when you die, if the enemy owns you, he takes you there. Like the Father told me, when you die, whoever owns you will come for you. Make sure you belong to God the Father and don't give your life and yourself away to the enemy. If you ever live in hell, you'll never get out. The torment will never stop. It's a spiritual realm, but when you die, out of this physical body steps a spiritual body that looks just like you. You experience everything around you. In heaven, it's joy and pleasure and delightment and love. And hell, it's fear, never-ending fear, almost to the point of being insane. You feel all the torment on that spiritual body as if it was your physical body. So it is a literal place, but it's a spiritual place.
Yeah. She says, even now, Jesus walks through hell. Yeah, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus goes, he takes walks in hell. And she says that she's talking about the Nephilim. Now, I always pose this question to people because there's been books written about this and about these giants in the land, and they managed to take one scripture from Genesis and they twist it. Now, first of all, angels are spirits, and in heaven there's no marriage in heaven, so you know what that means. So we have these spirits, these angels, and they want you to believe that somehow Satan becomes the creator and he creates human organs for angels. And he's such a creator that he gives blood to these angels. That can't happen. No, angels don't have blood and they don't have human organs. That doesn't happen. So right then, any person that can think clearly, you can debunk all these teachings about these angels coming down and they have relations with women on the earth and they make children. That can't happen. I don't care. I had somebody say something to me on YouTube because I have a video up there on this subject, which it really does originate from Gnosticism and from the Book of Enoch, which is not a Christian book in any way, shape, or form. So the man says, you have this Dr. somebody, Dr. Michael Hauser or Heiser or somebody. He says, you have to read his book. I don't care who wrote the book. I really don't care because there's many people that have written volumes about this, that these angels happen to father children. It can't happen. No, spirits do not turn into humans. Satan is not a creator, and there is no way. That is just a simple explanation for it. So no matter who writes these books and who manages it, I think the scriptures in Genesis 6, I can't remember offhand, but where they happen to take this one scripture and create this whole theology, which it isn't even important, really. I mean, what does that have to do with anything that has to do with heaven or hell? It's just kind of a way to sidetrack people and then also to get them off into arguing things that really shouldn't even be an argument because it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, there was giants. See, there was Goliath, but he wasn't descended from a Nephilim. There's giants. There's giants now. They're not. There's people that are 7 feet tall. that would be considered a giant person. But I doubt seriously that there was ever anybody that was 15 feet tall or 20 feet tall. There was even somebody that said that they saw angels, or they saw giants that were 100 feet tall. But that can't happen. That's a nice program, or a nice script for the Twilight Zone TV program, but it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. It just comes from people's imagination. And some of these people, they'll tell you anything because they want to sell a book, or they're trying to sell a tape series or whatever. But it has no basis in scripture. And you could see how carried away people get, the things that come forth from this woman. And none of it makes any sense. But here's the last audio I'm going to play. And it's Kerr on time travel.
Hi, this is Kat Kerr, and I have a revelation report for you today, direct from heaven, and it's called time travel. And did you know that God can go anywhere in time he wants to? He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. If you're living your life for him in these days and have prepared yourself to do some amazing things for him, he actually can catch you up by your spirit. He has not only shown me heaven now, but I've seen heaven in the beginning before Lucifer's fall. He's taken me through a lot of the millennial reign. I've seen a lot of that, even little bits of the new earth. And the reason that I'm able to do that is because God is eternity. He's always existed, always will exist. If you could look on the inside of him, you would see eternity. But he is going to take many people in these last days on time travel. I can tell you the one time I was taken way back in time and shown actually Christ being resurrected, resurrection from the tomb, and when he poured out his blood on the mercy seat. When I experienced that travel, I actually felt myself traveling. Most of the time I'm caught up by my spirit, and instantly I know what John meant in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 4, when he said, instantly I was in the throne room. I know what that means. In less than a blink of an eye, you're somewhere else besides here, usually while you're wide awake, not while you're sleeping. But when he took me back in time, I literally felt like I was flying through space. It was an awesome experience. It was like going warp speed. You saw lights, beams of lights coming towards you as you were traveling. And then when he was done taking me where he wanted me to, my feet touched the ground. I knew I was right there. The tomb was open. I was really kind of overwhelmed that I was allowed and permitted to see those awesome things. But I also was taken back in heaven before Lucifer fell, saw the glories of heaven, how Lucifer used to actually create glory for God, not just lead worship. And then it was also taken to the ends of time, right before God wrapped everything up, saw the millennial reign, what it would be like to live on the earth during that time. But God has the ability, because he is the great creator, he is the I am, and because he is, you are, you should get that, okay? We exist because he exists. And if he chooses to take us through time, whether the beginning or the end, that's totally up to him. I hope one day you get to experience the same thing. It's amazing for God to trust you with revelation. He's going to send more of it down to the earth so we know who he is and who we are. And so look forward to it. And I do know that on the new earth, you will actually get to travel through space in your glorified body, visit different planets. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? This should be an exciting time of your life right now with God revealing himself to the earth. You need to know who you are, made in his image, and know that the supernatural is to be a part of your life. So I ask God's blessings over your life. Pursue him. You'll never lose by pursuing him. Don't always go to him with your problems.
Oh, dear. She should have like H.G. Wells in The Time Machine. She actually traveled, and she saw the millennial reign. And she actually saw Jesus back in the day when he was getting resurrected. Yeah, she was there. God took her back in time. Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's hard to believe, isn't it? It's like, how did we get here? How did there become such a great separation? But the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that's why false doctrine of any kind is so dangerous, because it doesn't take much. You can just have a little leaven. It doesn't take much. Leaven. If you ever do any cooking or baking or anything, you realize that you can take a little teaspoon or so of baking powder or a little teaspoon of yeast, and all of a sudden it rises to something so much bigger. And that's the same thing with any kind of heresy or any kind of leaven that comes into the church. I think it eventually it drives some of these people crazy, and they just, they get a following and they get public recognition. And so then they have to have it. They crave it. They crave the limelight. And so then they have to keep coming up with the most bizarre stories to follow the other bizarre story that they told. And then it just gets crazier and crazier. You have to just really feel sorry for these people, that they can't just lead a normal life. They can't just say that I get up every morning, I lead a normal life, I do praise the Lord. I don't spend all day walking around my house worshiping the Lord. I do other things, but I always acknowledge him every day. If you're a Christian, you can't help it. And I'm not trying to think about angels coming to my house, and then I'm not thinking about having trips to heaven, and I'm not thinking about having trips to hell, and I'm not thinking about time travel. I'm just trying to get through the day. You know, like the rest of us, we're just trying to get through the day. And never mind all this other stuff. Could you imagine that you get up in the morning and then you have to think about time travel? Like, am I going to have enough time in my day, you know, to take a trip back in time to see the resurrection? Or like, how do you have any kind of a family life? It's just bizarre. You know, your husband, he would be saying, could you imagine if you just had a real normal husband and you're saying to your husband, excuse me, honey, I can't cook dinner tonight. I have to go back in time. I'm going to be taking a trip. This lady happens to be married. I wonder what her husband thinks about it. If he was a good husband, he'd sit her down and say, now, Kat, come on. I don't know how the mate doesn't correct the other mate, because that's what, when you're married, you have a helper. You're supposed to help each other. And I would definitely, if this was my mate, I would definitely be saying, help, you know. But sometimes the income is good. They're earning a good living, which where are they going to get $50,000 or $100,000 a year in a salary? Most people don't make that kind of money. And so they get public recognition. And so that they don't really care, really. They don't really care about the integrity of the Word of God, or not trying to draw attention to yourself. It's an attention getter, because if you say, for instance, when Robert Lairdon came out with his book, I Saw Heaven, nobody heard of Robert Lairdon. He was a young kid. I don't remember when he burst on the scene, if he was 14 or 15. He was really young, and he wrote this book, I Saw Heaven, where he says that he went to heaven, he saw the body parts room and all that. And so he became very, very popular, and people would flock to go hear him. And he still has a lot of views on his YouTube channel, but I knew Robert personally. I was a part licensed with his ministry at one point, and we loved him. And then we found out that he was having a homosexual relationship. Well, we were devastated, and because we believed him, but there's no way. And I would say to him now, if I saw him, I would say, no, there's no way you went to heaven and you were splashing in the river of life and you sat on Jesus' lap and all that, and then you became a homosexual? No, that didn't happen. No. I would tell him that. It didn't happen. Nobody that claims to have seen Jesus is going to backslide. You just wouldn't. You just wouldn't. So I don't believe these testimonies. I don't believe these people. And even if it did happen, which I don't believe it happens, I wouldn't tell anybody. No, because I wouldn't try to draw attention to myself by saying, look, I am, look at me. I go to heaven and I go to hell and angels come to my house. And I wouldn't even say it. No, I wouldn't even say it because I'm not interested in drawing attention to myself in that kind of a way. But fame is very tempting. And so they have their 15 minutes of fame. I guess they like it, but fame is not all it's cracked up to be, because you see what happens to a lot of the famous people. They wind up ODing on drugs. They wind up committing suicide. They don't have normal lives. They can't walk out on the street. So it's the same thing with people in the ministry. We shouldn't be striving for fame, but to make the one that deserves all the fame, Jesus Christ, more famous than he already is. Nobody can take the place of Jesus. And we're just servants of the Lord. And he just so happens to let us preach his gospel, which he says he uses the foolishness of preaching. So, he even let a donkey talk. So, you know, we could just thank God that he lets us do anything for him, as messed up as we are. But we have to give all the glory to God, because if it wasn't for him, where would we be? We'd have nothing. We'd be nothing. But it's only because of him and his grace and his mercy that he allows us to preach his gospel and to try to do what we can to build his kingdom while we're here on the earth. And that's the most important thing, not to build our kingdom, but to build his. But anyway, that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody for stopping by in the chat room, and all my listeners around the world, everybody, especially in England and Canada, South Africa, and Australia. We have the biggest listeners in those countries. Of course, we have listeners in other countries as well. But I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And if you have any questions or you want to email me, you can email me susan@propheticnews.com. Don't forget our books on Amazon, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And Paula White, Heretic in the White House, The Miracle-Selling Huckster Who Became the Spiritual Advisor to the World's Most Powerful Man. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. That would be one of the questions I would like to ask Donald Trump, too, is how does he justify that? But anyway, God bless you all. And we'll be back next week with another program for you, Lord willing. Amen. God bless.